Hey, this is Nick Gomez from The Walking Dead and Dexter. Hi, Sister K. Hi, Sister J.
Hey, sisters. It's Shalita from Philly. It's time for humans to bite back.
Hey, sisters. It's Jazzy from Ohio. It's time for humans to bite back.
This is Emily, and it's time for humans to bite back. Love you, sisters. Keep it up.
Hello, sisters. This is another Bill from Costa Mesa, California, also known as the future Mr. K. Hello. It's time for humans to bite back.
This is Niambi, a Philly girl hailing from Virginia. It's time for the humans to bite back.
Hi, this is Carol, simply from Seattle. It's time for humans to bite back.
This is Nursey Poo 2K2 from Philly. Yo, it's time for humans to bite back.
Hey, what's up? This is Brother Ray from St. Louis. And you've reached the Sister Speak podcast, home of the strongest, sexiest, and most intelligent viewers. As we stand united, because it's time we humans bite back.
Hi, sisters and Sister Speak podcast family. This is Toya from Delaware. It's time for humans to bite back.
Welcome to Sister Speak podcast of True Blood. This is Bunny from New York, and all I have to say is, it's time for humans to bite back.
Hey, this is Jackie from the San Francisco Bay Area, and it's time for humans to bite back.
Hello, sisters. This is Paris from Mobile, Alabama, and it's time for humans to bite back.
Welcome to Sister Speak True Blood, where we discuss season 6 of the HBO series True Blood from a sister's point of view. I'm Sister J.
And I'm Sister K. And welcome to episode 57. Let's get started.
Okay.
All right. We are back to talk about the episode 6 titled Don't You Feel Me.
And the wine selection for this episode.
Okay.
Is my Sweet Red Rue Yellowtail, which is an Australian wine. I really like this wine too. So
okay.
I went back to it. And once again, I am drinking Dos Equis Negra Modelo beer while we're doing this podcast, my little adult beverage.
Okay.
Awesome. All right. What you drinking, Sister K?
I'm drinking like watered down lemonade.
Okay.
Boring, but it's too early for me to drink. If I drink something, I'll be passed out. So.
All right.
Okay, so let's start with
Lafayette. Let's start where it ended.
Okay.
Lafayette is drowning Sookie's ass. Drowning her in the river.
Well, it's really Corbett.
It's really Corbett Stackhouse because he's trying to kill Sookie.
Right.
And I think it's really interesting how we switch to Bill down in his little basement thing with
lab. War-
yeah, with a lab, and he says, oh, Sookie. And then Warlow says, because, you know, remember, Warlow has Dr. Takahashi going to slice him. And he says, what about Sookie?
Yeah.
So the next thing we know, Sookie is just about passed out in the water.
Dead.
She quit struggling. She quit doing and moving. She quit doing everything. And all of a sudden, somebody throws Lafayette up out of the water and up against a tree.
Benorlo snatches him up.
Snatches up.
Picks up Sookie.
And says, I got you now. I got you.
Yeah, I got you. And so he goes. So then Corbett / Lala is talking all kind of shit.
Yeah.
And so Benorlo is about to go bite him, and Sookie says, no, it's not Lafayette, he's got my dad's spirit in him. Blast him, and maybe your light will make him
leave it. Yeah.
Yeah, which was a good idea.
That was a good idea.
Yeah. So he blasts Lafayette.
He zaps
spirit
him.
comes out of him.
Mm-hmm.
And he just is like sitting on the ground. So then Sookie says, is he still here? And her daddy, Corbett, was there. She's like, you get out of my life forever.
Mm-hmm. You can't blame her, though.
Oh, hell no.
You can't blame her at all. I felt kind of bad for Lafayette, though, because after Bernardo zapped him and he coughed, and of course the spirit came out of him, and so Sookie's Lafayette, and he says, Sook, then she knew that was him, you know.
Yeah.
But I felt kind of bad for him when she said, is he still here? I mean, he looked scared, didn't he, to you? Because he kind of sat back and went, oh, yeah, he's right there. You know?
I think because he didn't want him jumping in his body.
Body again, yeah. Yeah.
That's all them fools ever do is jump in his body.
Poor Lafayette.
He needs to learn how to get that to not happen.
Ain't that true? So the next scene we have of them is they are Lafayette and Sookie and Bernardo. They're sitting on the bank, you know, talking.
I love this.
I love this scene. Lafayette saying, you mean you can walk
no,
around?
No, he says, now let me get this hetero straight.
Hetero straight, yeah.
You's a vampire who can walk around in the daytime.
And he says, yeah, pretty much.
He's like, ooh, there goes the neighborhood.
Oh, there goes the whole damn neighborhood.
Lafayette
is so funny.
That was hilarious to me. I like
that. He's so funny. And then Bernardo starts coughing up blood and stuff because he's being summoned.
By Billeth.
And so Sookie's telling him, oh, wait a minute, I know a safe place where you can go. Take my hands. And he's retching and stuff. She says, come on, take both my hands. That was so cool. I like that.
At first, I'm like, where the hell? What the hell are they doing? But then
I forgot about
that other realm.
That little fairy garden.
I didn't know she could go there at will.
Well, but now she can.
Okay.
I mean,
so yeah, that was.
She's matured in a lot of different ways, though. Her little abilities,
yeah,
and everything. So it made perfect sense to me. And when they're light mesh, did you see Lafayette?
He's just looking
like, oh, what? You know. And they, of course, go to that fairy garden where she first met Claudine.
Yep.
I like that.
Yep.
I like that a lot. I said, ooh, yeah. And then they quickly showed Bill, and Bill couldn't feel him no more.
Nope. He was out.
He was gone.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So let's continue on with Bernardo and Sookie.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Bernardo is, you know, Sookie says, first thing she says, okay, can you feel him now? He says, no. And he seems real surprised,
yeah,
that he cannot feel
right
that pull anymore,
mm-hmm,
see. So I thought that was interesting as well. And he's kind of looking around like, he didn't ever ask her, where is this? Where are we at? He just kind of looking around, you know, like.
Yeah.
He probably recognizes it's a little fairy garden.
But obviously he doesn't have that ability.
No.
To do that.
Evidently not.
But
Sookie and him together did it.
That's true.
She said, take both my hands.
See,
that's what she said. And both of them together did it.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. But at first I was like, where the hell is she going?
I thought this was excellent.
I think it was good because it made Bill lose track of him.
Yes.
And so then Bill had to just move on and do what he was going to do, whatever.
Right. But I like this whole scene except for the screwing part. That was stupid. But
So Bernardo tells her that night's coming and he needs to tie her up because he hasn't fed.
No, he needs for her to tie him up.
That's what I said.
No, that's not what you said.
He wants her to tie him up because he doesn't want to hurt her because he has not fed. That's what I said.
Yeah.
So she's like, well, it's not night here. And he's like, yeah, but that's in this realm. It was night where we was at, and I could feel the darkness coming up on me.
Mm-hmm.
So he says, I'm able to control myself during the day, but at night it's harder.
But I thought it was really good how she tied him up with some tree branches. Tree vines, and then he says, use your light to seal it.
Yeah,
that was good.
Yeah, that was very interesting.
Yeah. So then he's trying to tell her, okay, well, let's just, you know. She says, okay, what do we do now? He says, well, we just wait. Let's talk. So, and I felt kind of bad for him, though, because I think his fairy self, he really, really feels bad about what he did as far as killing up his right. his peoples and stuff, and having to feed on people because he's a vampire and stuff. I think he really feels kind of bad for it. I believed him.
I believed him too. I did, and I think she did too. And so he's telling her, you know, they talk about when he was born, when he was made vampire, and that the contract that was written for her and him to be bound together was in the 1700s, and so arranged marriages were the norm.
Yeah.
And so she's like, well, but I'm not that special. And he's like, but you are. And she's like, that's an awful long ass time for you to be waiting around for somebody.
Yeah, but think about it. If she's the first fae girl, that's a long time to only have boys in your family. Because she was the first, he was promised the first fae female.
From that line.
From that line. That's what I'm talking about.
At the time that he met them. He didn't meet them until 1700s or whatever.
That's true.
So, at that time.
Yeah.
So, he had been wandering
around. But still, that's 200 some years.
Well, yeah.
That they had nothing but male children for that line. Because she's the first girl.
That's why I say that could not have been.
Yeah, you're right.
Stackhouse's granddaddy. Or, excuse me, daddy.
That had to be great, great.
It was. I think it was two greats.
Yeah, great, great.
Yeah.
But
you were right, though. And when you said, I thought he was weird, like your father, she did say that. And
yeah.
she did say, don't talk about my father
like that. Yeah, don't talk about my father like that.
But it was like the great, great, great grandfather who signed it away. Yeah, anyway. So then Bernardo tells her that he says, look, if it'll make you happy, I will, you know, when we get back, I will tear up that contract.
Yep.
And she says, well, but that doesn't mean you didn't write it in the first place.
Yeah, she said tearing it up doesn't change the fact that you wrote it.
Well, what does that mean, Sookie? Shit. I mean,
well, that means that it's still going to be in effect. I mean, he wrote it in his little fairy blood because it's got the light, you know?
So he says, look, I killed Lilith because I hate what she turned me into. I hate the hunger that it puts in me, like you said.
Yeah.
And it makes me hurt people. And then this is the part that I was like, oh, come on. He says, but if you agree to be mine, it would all be over. We would just...
He said, we would form a circle.
He said, it would just be you and me. We wouldn't need anyone else. We could be all the other needs. In other words, we would feed off of each other.
Well, yeah, but that's what her and Bill was doing.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, she was feeding off Bill's vampire blood, and he was feeding off her fairy blood. I mean, that made sense to me. What I found interesting is when he told her, he says, we would be a complete circle. We wouldn't have to ever hurt anyone.
That's true.
Because I'd feed off of you and you'd feed off of me.
And there'd be nobody else.
Yeah.
But then she said, and I said the same thing, but then I'd be vampire.
Yeah, now that is a little hitch.
And do you really think a new baby vampire can just handle one person?
Yeah.
Blood?
Yeah.
No.
But anyway, so then Sookie has this conversation with him. Where she's telling him, well, yeah, you know, my friends and family, they all say that I'm actually, they call me names. And he says something.
No, she said that the bad thing about being a fairy is, like, I know what the town is thinking. And they're thinking that I'm a danger whore.
Yeah.
And he says, no, no, no. She's like, well.
Maybe I am. I think she is.
She says, I think maybe they're right and I just need to embrace that part of me. Because I have feelings for you that I don't want to have.
Yep.
And I just need to accept it.
Then
I guess, you know, if you know you a hoe, you got to accept the
hoeness. Hey, she a hoe. She a hoe.
Accept the wholeness and you'll be fine.
She liked the danger. Hey, that's what Trick Hoe Andrea should have done in The Walking Dead. Embrace the wholeness, you know. But
embrace your wholeness.
Yeah, so Sookie
and you'll be happy.
Yeah, Sookie done embraced her wholeness. She is undressing him. She is undressing him, taking off his boots.
Well, then, no, first she put more light on his thing. She says, look, I'm not crazy.
Yeah. She says, I may be crazy, but I'm not stupid.
Stupid. There you go.
And she put more light on his bindings to make sure he's tied up good and tight.
Tied up.
Then she undresses him a little bit.
Well, she lets him feed off of her.
That's true.
And then, I didn't get this part, she feeds off of him.
Yeah, she bites his neck and is drinking that blood. But she did that with Bill, too.
I know, and I forgot that, though. But yeah. I'm like, why? See,
because that's what she do.
Ugh.
And then she undresses herself, and she is booty buck naked except for her boots. She kept her boots on. And then she is screwing Bernardo.
Bernardo.
And that's the last we see it, ain't it?
Really?
Yeah.
Sookie?
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, really. Really. For Sookie. Yeah.
It's been a few days.
Well, anyway.
It's not as bad as Sam, because she didn't just see her love of her life killed or whatever.
Exactly.
So,
well, we already knew.
Hey, she said, I'm going to embrace my wholeness.
Embrace
and
my wholeness. I'm a danger hoe, so I'm living by the...
I'm going to go ahead and do what I want to do.
I say, go ahead, girl. Brace your wholeness.
Embrace the wholeness.
Woo, Lord.
That should
mercy.
Be our new slogan.
Embrace the wholeness. Okay, so now we're going to go to...
But wait. Oh. As they're having sex, did you notice the light
coming
up over both of them?
Yeah, because both of them are fae. So, you know, their lights are matching.
Interesting.
I thought that was... But it's just like when Sookie took him there in the first place. It's both their lights.
Yeah.
You know, went ascended or wherever. And because that's what Lala was looking at, see?
Yep.
Okay, you want to... Where do we want to go now?
Let's skip on to, let's see.
Yeah, it's all kind of messed together.
Let's do Lafayette and Terry, Andy, Holly, all them.
Okay.
Let's do all the side people first and then get back to Eric and Bill.
All right. Well, we see Lafayette. Oh, Lafayette is just...
I love it.
I just love him.
I love this whole...
I got to find where I wrote it down. I wrote it down.
He's bedazzling.
Too. He is bedazzling.
Some clothes.
And he is, and he's got his glue gun out and his crafts, and he says, bitch, you're going to be fresh to death. I just love that. And he is smoking a blunt, and he is just bedazzling away. And there's a knock on the door.
Knock, knock, knock.
And it's crazy as Terry.
Poor Terry.
Ooh, Lord.
This whole scene, though, I loved it.
Yeah, it was funny.
I absolutely loved
it. It was
this
funny.
Scene. So Terry is there,
Lord.
And he's like, hey, Terry.
Mm-hmm.
What's up? He's like, I got something for you. He's like, oh, I like presents. And then Terry, looks like he's getting nervous then.
That's because Terry's crazy.
He's crazy. And so Lafayette says, now, Terry, you acting real strange,
even for Terry.
I like that.
And he said, I got a present for you. I want to give you this key. He said, what key? He said, it's the key to my safety deposit box.
And Lafayette's like, well, what if I don't want your key?
Yeah.
And Terry's like, I want to give you the key, so take the fucking key. And then Lafayette says, Terry, what the fuck? And then Terry says, there's no fuck.
There's no the fuck. That was so funny.
I loved it.
I loved it,
there's
too.
No the fuck. I just think we have the type of friendship where we can give each other keys.
Oh, crazy ass Terry. Poor thing. Poor thing.
And so, then Lafayette is so funny. He's like, well, but I don't have a key for you.
You. Yeah.
And Terry's like, it's okay. I'm fine with that. I just want to give you this key. And Lafayette's like, okay, I'll take the key.
Mm-hmm.
And then Terry hugs him up real weird, awkward.
And Lafayette's like,
shit. I know some shit's going down.
So then when Terry turns to leave, Lafayette's still calling him, Terry, but Terry just gum on.
He's on. Yeah, he's off. So then we see Arlene. Arlene.
Getting off the phone.
Getting off the phone. And Holly.
With Lafayette.
Yeah, and Holly is, and she's kind of upset, and Holly's like, what's going on? And she's like, I think Terry is trying to kill himself.
She told her that was Lafayette on the phone. He told me Terry just gave him a key to a safety deposit box that I knew nothing about.
Yeah.
She says, I think Terry's going to kill himself. And so Holly's trying to tell her, no, look, you probably misinterpreted. She says, look, it's that damn war. She says, and all that stuff, he's been acting flaky. And so Holly Now, Holly's idea is really good,
though. You know what? I'm thinking, why the hell didn't we think of this?
But Arlene said, damn, why didn't I think of this before? Which is good.
Yes.
But when you're right in the middle of something, you can't always, you know, look at it like that.
I sure didn't.
But Holly says, well, look, all we need to do is make Terry forget.
Why don't we get a vampire?
Yeah, to make him forget.
Yes. And I was like,
damn.
That was a good idea.
That's a good idea.
What if you could do that? Wouldn't you do that?
Yeah.
Make you say forget some shit or just say, hey, now you are going to be a successful such and such, 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 and then you walk around thinking you are.
Yeah. So she says, my son's friend's
dad's
husband.
Right.
No, my son's friend's dad's husband.
Right.
Is a vampire.
Right.
And Arlene said, wait. Your son's friend's dad's husband?
Yeah, they're gay.
Ah, so she calls him up to come over to Glamour Terry.
Now,
that scene was good.
That was a good scene.
That was very good. Very slick.
Terry was looking fucking crazy the whole scene.
Oh, damn. He was. That's a good actor, though.
Yeah.
The guy playing Terry Balfour. Because
so he comes over.
He looks stone crazy.
So Matt is his name. Holly's friend comes over.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, okay, where you at? And he immediately get to it.
Uh-huh.
He says, okay, Arlene, come in here. Tell me what you want me to have him forget.
Mm-hmm.
So she says, tell him there's no Marines. And I was thinking, well, damn, Arlene.
But then
you gonna
she
take
said,
everything?
Everything. She said, tell him there's no Marines. There's no war.
No war. He's a father, a stepfather, husband, and cook.
And a cook.
And that's it.
That's it.
And I liked it how he did it, too. He's like, and you're a husband, a stepfather, a father, and a cook. In 10 seconds, you're going to wake up. You're not going to know I was even here.
Mm-hmm.
And then he gets up, walks out, talking to Holly. Thanks for picking up the kids the other day.
Yeah. And Holly, but this is the funny part that I thought. He said, Holly said, oh, that's fine. She said, but now, you know, there's a curfew on, so you need to be careful. He said, oh, they don't never pull over a Camry.
I know.
What's laughing.
That was a good scene.
That was a very good scene.
At first, I was thinking, okay, you're going to let this vampire in here, and there's a shortage of true blood. What if he's me? What if he tries to eat y'all?
Mm-mm.
But I like that they made him a normal person, and
he was
an everyday friend.
Right. And he was a friend that Holly knew.
And they talking about their kids.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I thought it was funny.
I thought that was very good.
And good. I really liked that scene. So then, while they're doing that, Arlene's just looking at Terry, watching him.
Yeah.
And he kind of blinks, and then he's like, oh, hey, hon.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, what you watching? He's like, oh, I don't know. And you can already tell he looks a little lighter.
Yeah.
You know, he's talkative. He's like, come sit in my lap. And she's like, okay. But when he was watching TV and she sat in his lap, he looked crazy to me. His eyes looked crazy. I'm like, I don't know if that shit took.
Yeah, it did.
Because he still looked crazy.
Well, but that's just the way Terry
looks.
Maybe
it was the shine of the TV or something.
And next time we see him, they're at Merlot's.
Yep.
And Terry is being super duper helpful.
Taking out the trash,
talking all nice to people. And Arlene's just happy as a little bug.
Yep.
She just so happy and grinning. And Terry is really nice, and he's offering to take out the trash for Big John and everything. And Big John says, Terry, you're a good man. He says,
it takes one to know one.
Yeah, it takes one to know one. And so Big John says, oh, I appreciate that, or something like that. So
yeah.
I thought to myself, I said, I knew something was going to happen because he didn't even know what he did. She took everything.
Right.
So he didn't even remember
that he needed to call his friend and say, never mind,
call it off or something.
Nope.
So he went out to take out the trash, and we hear a big old gunshot.
Pow. Just one.
And he'd been shot in the neck.
Now, this is what I got to say about that. Your friend is not a good fucking shot. Because if you're a good effing shot, he wouldn't have lived for 30 seconds to a minute.
Yeah.
You know, just sitting there looking up at Arlene. He would have been gone.
Well, be that as it may, they wrote the scene that way so she could have a chance to say goodbye.
Yeah.
Terry dead, so Terry gone.
He gone. I was kind of sad about that.
Yeah. It was just shocking. Yeah. I mean, it was just shocking because...
Well, we knew it was going to happen because he said to his friend, I don't want to know when it's coming.
I don't want to know when it's
coming. Give me a couple days. So, you knew it was coming. But it was still sad just to have happen.
It was sad. And especially because he had been glamored and was so happy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But that's the way it goes. Alrighty.
Okay, then Holly and Andy. So Andy is in the doorway watching the one lone baby that he got left.
His little baby girl.
Sleep. Mm-hmm. And so Holly comes up behind him and he gets startled.
Yeah.
And when he gets startled, it wakes her up, the baby. So she...
Little baby.
He's like, I'm sorry, number four. Mm-hmm. And she's like, Daddy... And this scene was so cute to me.
Oh, it was so touching.
It was so cute to me. And this girl they have playing her was so cute.
She is adorable.
And so she's like, Daddy, before you go to work, do you think that you could maybe give me a real name?
I know. That was so... I almost teared up then.
I know. It was teary.
Dang, it was so cute.
I didn't tear up, but I could have.
It was so cute.
So he's like, okay. And so Holly's like, okay, you're all right. Just start with the A's.
Start with the A's.
So he says, okay, well, I knew a girl named Adeline once, and, you know, in third grade, and... She was real nice to me, really pretty, very sweet. And she moved away, and I never met another Adeline since. And then when she said, well, you have now.
Yeah.
That was so cute.
Oh.
And then she's like, well, but what about my sisters? I want to remember my sisters.
She says, I want to remember my sisters every time somebody says my name. That was so sweet.
I like that.
So he just went, he did like Holly said, he went down the alphabet.
So he says, okay, so number one, look like a Braylon.
Mm-hmm.
Number two,
Charlaine.
Yes.
Yeah, I knew that.
That was a good touch.
And number three, Danica. I thought that was good because, you know, she is the only woman NASCAR driver. Only woman.
Oh, you think that's what it was?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Danica Patrick, yeah, she's the only woman.
Oh. Well, anyway. Yeah. So number three, Danica. She's like, okay.
That is so cute.
It was very sweet. So she says, okay, so my name is Adeline Braylon Charlaine Danica.
Mm-hmm. That was the sweetest scene.
That was the sweetest scene. I wish we would have had more of that, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I like this episode. I really like this episode.
I like this episode too. I mean, I'm liking the episodes more and more and
I liked every single part except for the two parts that we're not going to mention.
Yes, I am going to mention. I am going to talk about Sam and Alcide and Nicole and whatever. And you could just, whatever. You could just listen or whatever you
want. Well, hurry up and do it.
All right.
Shit.
We start...
Some bullshit.
Well, we start with the scene I don't like, and that is Nicole is fussing at Sam, talking about Emma, and, you know, how you gonna keep her away? She's in the hotel room crying her little eyes out, asking for her grandma. He says, I'm just trying to keep her safe. She says, yeah, but you know what? You might not be enough. And that's what she's trying to tell him. I don't have a problem with us knowing this, but she is not the right person to be saying that to Sam. The bitch just met Sam, you know? All she got, her only claim to fame was Sam, and she done screwed him one time, and that's it. So anyway, so the next time we see Alcide goes to Jackson's hotel room, and evidently Jackson has called Alcide to let
him... We don't even need all these details.
Has called Alcide to let him know Sam and Nicole was at that same hotel. And, of course, Alcide sees Jenny, and he's saying, hey, Jenny. And he says, don't you think you ought to put some clothes on? I like what Jenny says to Alcide. She says, oh, come on, we're werewolves. Butch the fuck up.
That was funny.
That was hilarious. And she's sitting on the bed eating some chicken. Oh, that was hilarious.
Now, of course... Now, that's one thing I will say. You were talking about the girl with a floppy booty.
Yeah.
She had floppy titties.
Oh, she had floppy. Yeah. Yeah.
Now.
Yeah. And she was, yeah, she was thin too. You could see her ribs.
Yeah,
I didn't like that.
That was not cute.
That was not cute. So Al, Seed, and Jackson go to Sam's hotel room. And, of course, Sam and Nicole and Emma are gone. So they sniffing around everything trying to get their scent. I thought, okay. So next time we see Sam and all of them, they're at the gas station. Sam has obviously called Martha to come and get Emma. He's had a change of heart. So it's a real touching scene, I thought, when he's saying goodbye to Emma. So Martha takes Emma on. And then the next time we see them, Sam and Nicole, and of course Alcee gets there and him and Sam have some words, and Sam says, look, I'm tired of dealing with this. We were friends at one time, so, you know, you wanna kill us both or whatever, then come on, let's go with it. But it ends tonight. And I thought it was really good that Alcee, you know, said, okay, y'all need to leave right now. Y'all need to go. If you go back to Shreveport, Bon Temps, anywhere where my pack can sniff you out, I'm not going to help you no more. So they leave. Okay. So that's the end of them.
The only thing
I will say... Oh, don't look so exasperated.
I am, because we wasted, what, 2 whole good minutes of our lives with that bullshit. The only thing that I will say that I liked about that scene was when Emma and Sam said goodbye.
That was really
cute. That was it.
That was really cute.
And then she says, will I ever see you again? And he said,
you just... He didn't say that.
No, he just said, you just listen to your grandma. Mm-hmm. And then when he said, bye, Bunny,
I thought
that was so sweet. Because remember when she first turned in, the first thing she turned into was
he turned into a little bunny for her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That was the only thing.
Although people were saying, ew, that was kind of creepy because she was rubbing on the bunny.
What? Sister Jay, you're so ignorant.
Oh, people was.
You're ignorant.
Okay.
Okay, so let's get on to Bill.
All right.
So after Bill feels Bonorlo disappear out of his realm of feeling or whatever that's called.
Yeah, whatever.
He goes up to Jessica's room and he's yelling, hey, Jessica, when I summoned you, did you almost die or what?
Yeah, you know, he did say that though.
And then he notices she's not in her room and he's like, oh, shit, it's starting.
Mm-hmm.
So then he goes down to the lab and he tells Dr. Takahashi that he needs to get put in a comatose state. And Dr. Takahashi's like, I don't know how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so Bill glamors him and says, look, you need to drain all my blood and put me in a comatose state so that I can get to Lilith. And so he does. He drains the blood. And the next time we see Bill, he's with the 3 naked chicks. So the 3 naked chicks take him to Lilith.
Oh, I'm so tired of seeing these 3 naked, butchy women. You know? I mean,
they're so covered with blood, you can't tell anything about them, really.
Oh, please.
Anyway, so they go to Lilith, and Lilith looks pissed.
Yeah, she looks mad.
She looks mad. And so, and then we find out she is mad.
Yeah, because Bill keeps summoning her. And he's saying, look what you getting ready to do. And so she says, hey, it ain't me. She says, the tyrant took your progeny, the blonde took our salvation.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So she's talking about the governor and Sookie.
Right. She's mad because you couldn't keep your shit together.
Yeah. And he's telling her, hey, you the one to start this whole shit because you picked the wrong daggum fae.
That was funny. You the one that fucked this shit up.
Yeah. Because you picked the wrong fae.
He says, I want you to tell me where the white room is. And she's mad. He's like, well, look, I didn't. He basically is trying to say, she forced him to take his blood. She's like, I didn't force you. You beat Salome.
He said, you fought tooth and nail with Salome.
That's it.
To
you fought
get
tooth
my blood.
And nail with Salome to get my blood. Killed Salome to get her blood.
Which is true.
And then she says, you are such a disappointment. And the way she looked him up and down when she said
yeah,
it.
Yeah, did you see that?
I was like, ooh, Bill, now. You talking shit now. Lilith might get your ass.
Mm-hmm.
She says, all of this is on you. The time to act is now, and do not come to me seeking answers again.
She sure did.
Boop. And then she left.
Boop.
Boop. Mm. So Bill wakes up,
from his little coma.
And it's daytime, and he sees a news story about Governor Burrell and the new True Blood factory that is producing True Blood
again. True Blood. Mm-hmm.
So then he says, oh, the governor, the tyrant.
Yep.
So he throws Dr. Takahashi in the jail cell, takes Benorlo's blood, drinks it,
the whole thing,
and leaves the house. And when he drinks it, he kind of glows a little bit.
Yeah, his whole, like, from his neck up, it glowed like they're fairy lights.
So he leaves the house.
Walks in the sunlight.
Walks in the sunlight.
Without burning up.
And he ain't burned up. And then he starts running.
Mm. Okay. Now, I like that scene, though.
I did like that scene. Mm-hmm. Okay, so then we get to Eric and Pam in the white room, or one of the rooms, where they have the stakes looking at each other.
Yeah.
Sarah and the governor get impatient. They're like, okay, come on now.
Come on. And Sarah Newland had me dying. She looked at that doctor and said, I thought you promised me it would be violent.
Yeah. With her crazy ass.
With her crazy ass.
And he's telling her, just wait. Just give it a minute.
And then she's talking into the microphone. Haven't y'all seen Gladiator? Come on, fight. You know. So Pam and Eric do their little suspended stance.
And I think I missed something where she says, you made another vampire?
Yeah.
So I'm like, how does she know that?
Because
they didn't say that.
Well, this is okay. In this whole scene, I thought it was excellent. Because this is the whole point that the governor and his people don't understand. They can communicate without moving their lips.
Right. Exactly.
I mean, but they don't know that, obviously.
So that's where she knew it then.
That's where she knew.
Yeah. Because I was, at first I was thinking,
they were communicating.
Yeah.
Because that's how, when they floated up to the ceiling, just like
they knew what they wanted to do.
They knew what they was going to do.
Right.
Because he was communicating to her. Okay.
That makes sense.
That little square opens up. There's a person. That little square opens up. And they went to the opposite sides and went specifically to those squares. Oh, yeah.
Wait, I knew that. I mean, I knew they were communicating with each other, but when it came to the part where she said, you made another vampire, I'm like, how the fuck did she know that? So I didn't correlate.
Yeah, well, you should have. Dang, how could you forget that?
Well, anyway.
But anyway.
So,
I love that scene, though.
So she's, like, pissed that he's made another vampire. They start flying up in the air, which I thought was an awesome scene.
Just like he did Sophie Ann, remember? Like, Bill did Sophie Ann.
Awesome scene.
Yeah, I loved it.
And the governor cracks me up. He is delighted.
He
is jumping up and down. He's like, ooh, yes.
Ooh, yes.
This is what I want to see.
Yeah.
So they grab the two guys out of the little hatches with the guns.
Yep.
Kill them. Pam throws one up against the window.
And Eric stakes him.
Eric stakes him through the glass.
And the governor and everybody in the room go, ooh.
The governor was cracking me up because he's like, yeah, ooh. He didn't care it was one of his own people.
Yeah.
This old
and
crazy
then ass. I liked it when Eric looked through that hole and said, Steve Newland.
I see you. And Steve, I didn't.
They made me do it. They made me do it. Did you see how everybody looked at him?
Crazy ass.
The doctor looked at him.
Yep.
That psychiatrist doctor looked at him like.
Well, when Eric staked the dude through the glass, Steve was like, I think we need to go.
Yeah.
And Sarah was like, you've always been a pussy.
Yeah. But that's because he know how formidable Eric is.
And he is, he's a scaredy cat.
Uh-huh. He is a scaredy cat.
Okay, so the next time we see Eric, he's in a cage.
And the governor is taunting him, talking about, ooh, I caught me a tall, blonde whooping crane.
I like that.
Oh, that governor and his sayings.
It was funny.
Oh, it was hilarious. I felt so sorry for Nora.
So they bring in Nora, strapped up, and Dr. Overlark is there, and the governor's like, oh, I want you to feel what it's like to lose someone. Because Eric is kind of taunting him about about Willa.
About Willa.
And the gov is pissed about losing what he loves so much, he wants Eric to feel the same. He says, well, since the doctor likes your progeny so much, your sister will have to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so Dr. Overlark's got some shit in a vial or in a syringe.
He said they call it hepatitis V.
Hepatitis V, a vampire virus.
It's a virus. It's a new strain they developed.
Mm. So they inject Nora in the neck and leave them in the room together.
Oh.
And so they both tell each other, I love you, in their old language.
Yeah.
Swedish, Norwegian, I don't know what language, but
yeah,
some old language. It's,
yeah, whatever their old language is.
So the next time we see the governor, and I know it's kind of jumpy, but we're just going to have to do it.
Yeah.
He's talking.
I mean, we have to.
He goes in to talk to Willa, and he's like, the guards told me you wanted to talk to me. And she's like, yes, I want, and you know what? I just have to say this first. I really like this girl.
I like the girl playing Willa.
I like her. I need to look her up. I like her who's playing Willa. I really like her.
Yep.
She is like, look, I need you to put me into general population.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want this solitary confinement, special treatment, and all kind of shit. He's like, well, honey, no, it's too dangerous. And I really like the governor, too, here, because...
I did, too.
He didn't shirk away from her. He wasn't scared of her. He was acting like she was his daughter again. And she's like, oh, I'm
dead. But that's because the guard told her, go ahead, sir. She's been fed.
She's been fed, yeah.
Right, so, you know.
But still, I think he still might have been that way, even without that.
Yeah. But he's telling her, too, that Dr. Overlock is working on a cure so he could fix him. And she says, fix me. Oh, you're trying to play God?
Well,
which I thought was pretty good.
I thought was cute or funny was when he says it's too dangerous for you to be out there. I want you to be safe. And she's like, I'm dead and you're still being overprotective.
I know, that was funny.
Willa, this is not like you to be so disrespectful. And she's like, and it's not like you to be a pussy whip motherfucker, but you sure are. Like one. And then he's like, Willa. She's like, what, daddy? What? But when she said it, I love it.
Yeah, she was very good. She was very good.
What, daddy? What?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, so then on to what you were saying. Overlark, he wants Overlark to find a cure and fix her. She's like, fix me? Are you going to just fix me or everyone?
Everyone.
I'm tired of this preferential treatment.
Mm-hmm. And then she tells him the ultimate thing. She says, if you really did care about me, if you really did love me, you would put me in Gen Pop.
I have a friend out there.
Her name's Tara. And she could at least show me what the things that I need to know.
About being a vampire.
Yeah, about being a vampire.
About being myself.
Yeah.
But they like saying that. If you've ever cared anything about me.
I know.
You would let me do this.
Mm-hmm.
And then she goes and sits her ass down.
On the floor.
On the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then... To go back to where Jason is.
Okay.
Jason's being interviewed at the LAVTF recruitment center.
Oh, this was hilarious. First of all, he looked really good.
I love Jason.
But he was talking mucho sense, though, wasn't he?
No, he was talking mucho shit.
He was, but I mean, he was making sense. He was connecting that shit because he's serious. He gonna go get Jessica.
Because he knows how to pretend,
Yeah.
Because he's used to that from the... What is the hell? The Fellowship of the Sun.
Yeah.
I keep wanting to say the Lord of the Light.
Yeah, well, you get
the Fellowship of the Sun.
Lord of Light's Game of Thrones.
He knows how to play that part.
He does.
And he was so good.
Oh, he was so good.
And when the guy was like, okay, so how many vampires have you killed today? He's like, you mean this week? That dude was laughing.
I know it. But when he says, okay, let's just go through these questions. And he says, do you know the characteristics of a vampires, and Jason says, yeah, I know them all. Go ahead. What's the next one? He says, wait. We got to back up.
Yeah.
So Jason breaks it down for him. I loved it.
I liked it too.
So good.
I did too.
And that guy, I
go get my manager.
No, he said, I think I need to go get my supervisor.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the next time we see Jason, he is in this conference room telling all these people at the camp how he killed all these vampires at the authority.
Yep.
And
they're eating it up.
And then here in walks Sarah Newland.
Yes, and I was like, oh shit.
And then Jason does
I like this Jason.
He pretends not to even know her. And he says, oh yeah, I know her. I seen her on TV.
Yep.
You know, you are Sarah Newland or something like that. And she says, well, yes, young man, thank you. And he says, just call me Jason. you know, which is what he would normally do anyway. And then, of course, Sarah says, gentlemen, could you, I need the room. I need to ask our newest recruit a few questions alone. You know, so everybody clears the room. And then I like this part, too, because Jason, when she says, what are you doing? Jason threatens her. He says, look,
I'm here for Jessica.
I'm here for Jessica.
I'm going to get her out. And if you try to stop me or tell them who I am, mm-hmm. I'm going to tell them all about you and what a whore for Christ you are.
See? Ooh. Boop. Boop.
Mm. So Sarah later.
Oh, she mad too.
She mad.
She mad.
She brings him into this
observation room.
And she's like, well, you're a new recruit. I think you're probably wondering what else we do here. So I just wanted to bring you in for one of our little experiments.
This is the copulation room. And Jason's sitting there and he's talking about,
can you define copulation?
She says, fucking Jason. He's like, oh, okay, I know what that is.
You know what fucking is, don't you?
Oh, gosh, she was so mean.
So they open up the screen and there is a really cute male vampire.
Named James
in there.
He was very cute.
He was cute. And then he's like, okay, well, I like watching people do it.
But don't they need two people?
And so she's like, bring in the girl.
Sarah Newland was just, she was like a sadist in this scene.
She's pissed.
Yeah.
Because here comes Jessica.
I felt so bad for Jessica.
And so she walks in. She's like, who are you? And he's like, my name's James. And she's like, okay, what are we doing here? And he's like, well, they want us to fuck. Mm-hmm. And she's like, who? Well, what got me? And it made her innocence kind of show through. She's like, but I don't even know you.
I know. And did you see Jason's face, though?
Yeah. It's and like, Sarah was hawking him, too.
Oh, she was grinning.
Grinning.
She was smirking.
And so James says, well, I'm not going to do it. I'm not doing anything. I'm not a rapist. I am not going to do this.
Yep.
And so Sarah, with her mean ass, hit him with the light.
Hit him with the light.
And
so
she
zaps him.
They put some UV light on him. Mm-hmm. So it burns his skin up. Mm-hmm. And so then Jessica's like, look, let's just do it. Mm-hmm. I don't care. Let's just do it and get it over with and let's go. And so she starts taking off her clothes, and James stops her, and he's like, no, I'm not doing it. You're too beautiful. You're a beautiful person, and you don't deserve this.
I like it. When she was taking off her clothes, she says, well, now, it's going to feel like I'm a virgin, but really I'm not. That was cracking me up. And he says, look, no, I'm not doing this. I am not doing this. Sarah Newland orders them to hit James.
Wait. You're missing all the good dialogue, Sister Jay. Mm. He says, you're a beautiful person and you don't deserve this. And she says, no, I'm not. I'm not a person at all. And I do deserve it. Mm-hmm. And then Jason, you can see his face looking at her like, oh, shit. I might have put some of that in her mind.
Yeah.
Anyway, go ahead.
So Sarah Newland says, hit him with the light. They hit him with the UV light. And she says, again, three times.
Yeah, they burned his
ass. Oh, she is a sadist. And then she finally says, that's all, take the girl away. And Sarah's grinning at Jason.
Yeah.
He's going to have to make her pay for that.
Mean as hell.
Mean as. So then, okay, that's the last we see of them.
Okay, so then we get to the governor.
The governor.
This scene is good.
This scene was so unexpected.
Except for one part. Yeah, it was unexpected.
It was so unexpected, but it was so good.
You go ahead.
Okay. The governor is reading his little
Bible
out in the garden.
Having a smoke.
And he's reading out loud to some of his little guards. He's got about 8-9 guards out there, bodyguards and stuff. And Bill comes walking up. And the guards say, uh-oh, intruder. Then Bill drops his fangs, and the one says, uh-oh, vampire, you know. So they start shooting Bill, hitting Bill's torso with bullets.
This is what I said.
Bill just keep on walking
Bill
and grinning.
Bill goes, this fool, first of all, he's got this cocky-ass grin on his face.
He is very.
But he goes full Neo on him.
He does.
Neo from the Matrix. He tells them, stop shooting, and they stop shooting. he does something and twists them around so they're pointing at each other. And then he says fire and they all shoot each other.
They all shoot. I thought that was awesome.
That was awesome.
That was awesome.
The only thing I didn't like was his cocky ass smile on his face.
Oh, I like that. I thought that was
and he's
excellent.
Like getting shot going.
Oh, yeah. But see, that was, I mean, oh, I thought that was excellent because men do that. They do that.
Okay.
You know, that's like that macho intimidation shit, you know? Oh, yeah, I thought that was perfect.
So the guy is like...
well, he wants to know, how you able to walk...
He said, how are you walking in the daytime?
In the daytime, yeah.
And Bill actually don't even ever say nothing
no,
about
he
that.
Says, tell me about that white room.
About the white
circular
room.
Mm-hmm.
And the governor says, fuck you. He says,
I'm not telling you nothing.
Yeah, I'm not telling you nothing. You know, fuck you.
He says, look, he says, y'all done took my daughter, the only thing... that I loved. He says, if I have to die and be a martyr for the cause, that's fine.
Yep.
Well, you know what?
So Bill
be
says,
careful what you ask for.
Bill
that's
goes
what I said.
And chomps the governor, and the next thing you know, as the governor is saying, you bite one or you take one head off, another one grows in its place,
mm-hmm.
Bill bites his head off.
Bites his whole
nasty
head
as
off.
Hell.
It was nasty.
Now, I actually liked the governor, even though he was a bad dude.
I had not
But
I did
was
not
shocked.
Expect for them to kill two people in one episode.
Well,
I
wasn't expecting to see the governor die like that.
I was not expecting to see
him. And then
him
puts his
die.
Head on this little post.
Well, he sets it on the statue.
The statue.
On the corner of this statue.
Okay, so in the meantime, inside the camp, Eric and Nora are still in there. And Nora is starting to have... blue shit coming up in her veins.
Yeah.
You see her veins turning blue?
Yeah.
He's telling her, be strong, and we'll get you out of here. I'll get you out of here. And she's like, you know what? It's okay. I'll get to be with Godric. I'll get to be with Godric.
Yeah.
And he's like, don't talk like that. It'll be okay. So then the next thing we see is Tara and Willa playing checkers or something.
No, they're playing that Connect Four game.
Oh, yeah, Connect Four.
That Connect Four
they're
game.
They're playing a game, Connect Four in general population, Gin Pop.
Mm-hmm.
And
Willa looks real happy and content.
Yeah,
she's
with, happy.
With Tara.
All of a sudden, she starts feeling sick, and she's like, ugh. And Tara's like, ooh, that's Eric summoning you.
Mm-hmm.
Just like when we were at the carousel, and I got summoned, and she's like, so you need to go to him. And she's like, well, but... And so they look up and see a guard... And she's like, okay, glamoring 101. And so
I love that.
Willa says, but what about the contacts? And Tara says, you pull them bitches out and you keep moving.
That's right.
So Willa goes and tells the guard, can I talk to you alone?
Alone.
So we know what happens then.
Hey, the next thing we see, that same guard.
Is
coming in where Eric and Nora are. And he knocks out
the doctor.
And Willa is going to bite that doctor because, you know, she ain't fed on a human.
Right.
Yet. And
well,
Eric says...
has that guy that he got her.
Right. But, and Eric tells her, hey, we need that white coat, so remove the coat first and then you can take her head off.
I like that.
I like that. And he says, oh, great for a baby vampire or something like
yeah,
that.
He says, good job, baby vampire.
Yeah. Oh, I love that scene.
Uh-huh. And then the guard... unlocks Eric from the cage and he just lifts his hands out like, come on.
Yeah, and he says, thank you.
So Eric puts the white coat on Nora.
Uh-huh.
He's got the guard's outfit on.
Yep.
And then there's Willa. And they're all trying to walk through the halls
mm-hmm.
and act like he's taking somebody somewhere. And they make it into a room because Nora is acting real sick, like she can't hardly stand up.
Mm-hmm.
So they go into a side corridor, and they watch a doctor go through another door. So Eric's like, you guys stay here and let me go in there. So he's got his guard outfit on, and
mm-hmm.
he walks into, turns out, the True Blood plant.
Well, it is a True Blood plant that they are feeding to the Gin Pop. That's
no,
what they said.
It's the plant that he was talking to the other vampire chick several episodes ago.
That's
so
true.
Obviously, this place is connected to the plant.
That's true. But the guy says to him, oh, hey.
Right. I know that. But I'm saying
right.
this is the place that they bottle the stuff. Go ahead, Sister Jay.
Well, when the guy sees Eric, he says, oh, you're here for the shipment. He says, well, we're not quite ready yet for the Gin Pop shipment. So that means that they were going
batch.
To.
He says gin pop batch.
Right. So they were going to feed watching, that to them.
Right. You skipped it. As Eric's watching the bottling of this stuff, he sees the Hep V getting sprayed into each bottle that's getting bottled up.
Yeah. That's
and then
nasty.
When the dude says, well, the gin pop batch ain't ready yet, Eric knows they're going to feed this shit to everybody so they die.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Eric.
Oh, that was
Eric's
awful.
Like, okie dokie, I'll just wait. And so he turns around and kind of walks a little bit and goes, fuck me.
Yeah. That's going to be bad.
That's going to be bad. He's going to have to blow that shit up.
They're going to have to.
They're going to have to blow that shit up.
Yeah.
And that was it. That's all of the scenes. That's
that
all.
Was a good episode,
That was a
though.
Really good episode.
And it covered a lot of ground and a lot of information.
Yes.
I didn't like the fact that both Terry and the governor are gone, but c'est la vie, you know.
Well, you know. I'd rather them, but I was just shocked by it because I actually did.
I was shocked.
I have enjoyed the governor, though. He has
yeah,
been a good
I
character.
Mean, he was very likable character.
Yeah, he was very good. Okay, well, on to our feedback. We had a little bit for this episode.
Okay.
We had one iTunes review, and
okay,
it is
cool.
From Matt2404.
Oh, hey, Matt.
He says, this is one of the best podcasts out there.
Yay.
They have me laughing on the way to work every time. 5 stars. Matt2404.
Thank you, Matt, for the 5-star review.
Thank you, Matt.
We appreciate it.
Yes, we do. Love it. Love it. Okay, our next piece of feedback is an email, and it is from Nina.
Hey, Nina.
Hey, ladies. Read quickly, Sister K. I don't want Sister J mad at me. Here we go. Have they ever established whether or not people can turn into werewolves from being bitten? I know in the True Blood universe it's hereditary, but I seem to recall the Werepanther storyline had something to do with Jason needing to be bitten in order to turn. I could be confusing that with the Jason Werepanther storyline from the book, though.
Yeah, I think so.
That's a good point, though.
Well, but we've already established that you cannot be bit and turn into a were-whatever.
No, we haven't.
Yes, we have. When Jason had disclosed to Sookie that he thought he was going to be a were-panther, and she's chasing through the woods with that shotgun and runs across Alcide and his girlfriend. What was her name?
Debbie Pelt.
Debbie Pelt. Then, and she was kind of saying stuff, and he said, what are you talking about? And they let her know then, you can't be bit and turn. It's genetic. One of your parents has to be aware of whatever.
Okay. Well, that's how they explained it.
Yeah. Then. So that was in last year's episodes.
Well, that was several years ago.
Well, but anyway.
Okay. Well, then. But
no. He's not turning. You can't be bit and be turned.
Well, what she's saying is that Journey Smollett girl would be turned if that was the case.
Yeah, no.
Anyway, I ask this because I'm curious if Nicole will eventually turn.
No, she won't.
If they've never set a precedent that people can't be turned from a scratch or a bite, I guess it's possible.
Nope.
I feel so... That would be good. Let her get turned and have to go under all feet and then be off of my radar.
But no, they've already explained that in another episode, so she's not going to be turning.
I feel so bad for Terry. That's our Arlene. That's our Arlene fucking shit up since season one.
Ain't that the truth?
I get what she was trying to do, but damn. Poor Terry.
I know.
The only way what happened to him will ever come to light is if/when Lafayette goes to the safety deposit box and Terry left some kind of an explanation.
Yeah.
I really do think they marketed and wrote this season with the possibility of it being the last one, so I expected some big character deaths, but this one was hard to swallow. I really like Terry and his unconventional friendship with Lafayette.
I know.
I liked it too.
I know.
That
I like Terry.
Them two was the best, though.
I know.
As usual, the best scenes were in any involving Eric. Hello. Yes.
Yep.
I love that he and Pam may no longer be bonded, but you don't spend more than 100 years with someone and not know how they think.
Absolutely.
There was no way they were going to fight each other. I cracked up over his attitude when Willa insisted on going back to get Tara and Jessica. He was like, whatevs.
Yeah.
The story, I'm glad that Willa said that, too.
I am, too.
Because Willa's like, look, Tara is my best friend now because she saved me.
I know. That's so cute.
It is cute. She's like, my friend Tara is out there.
Yeah.
The storyline with Bill, Lilith, and the Merkin triplets continues to
not
make a lick of fucking sense.
I know it.
I honestly don't even know what her motivation is. What does she want? How does it play into Ben Warlow's mission to get with Sookie? I like to think I'm pretty smart, but somewhere along the way, I stopped giving a fuck what Lilith wants and why. There's no the fuck.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
But that scene when Billeth killed the governor and his men was all the things.
Yep.
I hooped and hollered.
Yep.
That's why I will never quit this show, no matter how ridiculous it gets. You know what, Nina? But you're right.
That's
right,
though.
That scene was good. I was whooping, too.
That scene was awesome.
Go, Bill! I didn't want the governor killed, but still, it was still a good scene.
Yeah, but we didn't know the governor was going to be killed till the very end, so... You know,
I'm mad Andy gave his baby girl all them damn names.
Why? I think it's cute.
Notice one was Charlene after the author of the Sookie Stackhouse books.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, Sookie. First of all, take a drink. Mm-hmm. What the hell is up with that fairy light? It can differentiate between human and vampire blood. It can heal. It can blast spirits out of bodies. Though I don't know why she didn't blast Lafayette and had Ben Warlow do it. That's a good point.
Because she was depleted.
Benorlo.
She was depleted by then. She was depleted. She was drowned.
No, she means before she got to the, probably before she got to the pond.
Her hands was tied behind her back. How's she going to do her life?
That's true.
That's why he tied her hands behind her back.
Okay, she says, I don't know why she didn't blast Lafayette and had Benorlo do it. And it can tighten up ropes. Fairy light is apparently like duct tape. It can do any damn thing.
Woo, that's funny.
When she said, I may be a whore, but I'm not stupid, I thought, well, you're half right.
Yeah. Yo.
That's our Sookie, always thinking with her clitoris. Next week looks good. Talk to you ladies soon. Nina. Thank you, Nina.
Thank you, Nina, for that email. Oh, that's funny.
I may be a whore, but I'm not stupid.
She is a hoe, though. She said, I'm a hoe.
I know I'm a hoe.
Embrace your hoeness.
Okay, the next email is from Frank.
Hey, Frank.
Frank, how you doing?
Yay.
Hey, Sister K and Sister J. Loving your long-ass podcast this season. Just saw this and was glad to read that this isn't the last season of True Blood.
Yep.
It's an article about the season coming back.
Yes.
He says, I really think you should change the tagline to, it's time for the sisters to bite back. Frank in Toronto.
Thank you, Frank, for that wonderful email. And hey, Frank, send us your tagline.
Send us your tagline.
Yeah,
Frank.
We'd love to hear it.
And how you been, Frank?
It's been a while.
That would be good. Maybe, I don't know. I like it's time for the sisters to bite back would have been a good one.
Nah, I like it. I like the humans, yeah.
Okay.
I like it's time for humans to bite back. Because that's what this whole season is about. Vampires against the humans.
True.
Yeah, so okay. I like it.
Our next piece of feedback. Thank you, Frank.
Thank you, Frank.
Our next feedback is from Shalita.
Hey, Shalita.
Hey, sisters. Hope this isn't too late. It's not.
Nope.
And I hope it's not too long. Here is my long-ass voicemail on the last episode of True Blood.
Okay.
Hey, sisters. This is Shalita from Philly. I've been so busy lately, I haven't had a chance to write my long-ass emails like usual. So, another voicemail. This is about Don't You Feel Me, the episode that aired on July, whatever day that was. Okay. I have a lot of mixed feelings about this episode. Things I liked included, of course, Eric and Pam and how they kicked ass in that little white room. And how much of a punk Steve Newland is, because that was funny. And how much of a scary bitch is Sarah Newland? I am seriously scared about her. She frightens me. She's scary. That whole sequence with Jess and new vampire James, who James is all right with me. He's a vampire, not a rapist. That's what I'm talking about. But that whole thing, oh, that was so disturbing. It just gives me the chills. It was disturbing. And how about Jason? Every once in a while, Jason's actually smart, and he comes up with a good idea, but he has no chance against somebody like Sarah Newland. Oh, poor baby. Okay, let's see. We had a little bit of Lafayette this week. having best lines, of course. And let's see, what else was there? I love Tara. Tara was so awesome in her little bit of time that she had, but she was awesome. And I'm even starting to like Willa. She's a good baby vamp. And I honestly do feel bad about Nora. I didn't hate Nora, but I didn't like Nora. But I feel bad. But she's paying for the hubris, I guess is the word I'm looking for, that the of the authority, that they, all that crap that they did. But then Eric, with her being given the Hep V like that, he's being punished for his arrogance. I find that the vampires this season have been extremely arrogant. And they've always been arrogant, but this is the first time that arrogance has really worked against them. Because even Bill, though I have to say that scene at the end with Bill, that was pretty badass. I momentarily liked Bill again. That was pretty cool, but he ripped off the governor's head. Yeah, and you still are no closer to finding the doggone white worm. Seriously, dude. Get a better answer out of him before you rip the head off. But that was so cool, though, with the ceasefire and fire. Oh, that was awesome. Okay. Now, the other things to discuss, I guess, would be poor Terry. They kind of set it up that Terry was going to be the one to go. And we all hated that storyline with the stupid Fret last year. But you still kind of love Terry. So you feel bad and you're like, oh, Terry, man. But, you know, somebody had to go. Oh, and then you have I'm only mentioning this once because this wolf stuff still pisses me off. But I did tear up a bit over Emma saying goodbye to Sam. And, you know, their goodbye, that was so sweet. And the whole goodbye, Bunny. And, oh, that was so sweet. Martha better not go back to that stupid pack because they're crazy. Take that baby, go somewhere safe. Okay, now on to what I really, really, really hated. This was if you were on Get Glue, all I could say was, what the fuck, Sookie? What was that? After so much good growth with her the last couple of episodes, and it all got wasted away. Okay. Yeah, your daddy was crazy. He tried to kill your ass twice. I get it. You're upset. That would upset anybody. But I don't understand the whole sequence in which I understand why she fed him. She does that. I was okay with that. That wasn't out of character or anything. But then she bit him. I didn't understand why she bit him. And I certainly didn't understand why she jumped his bones. It was just like, wait, what? Huh? I don't even know. We'll see what happens next week. But I don't know what that was about. That was weird. We'll say though, Anna Paquin looks fabulous. Wow, she had twins. Are you kidding me? Okay. Anyway, that's all I have to say for now. It's like 2 steps forward, 10 steps back with Sookie. You're proud of her. Then you're like, oh, you idiot. You're saying you're not stupid, but that was stupid. Anyway, that was my reaction to that, the last parts there. But can't wait to see what happens. Hopefully Eric can get his family. He better include his grandbaby Tara and Jess and the group to get out. And new vampire James, because he's cool. You know, get them out of there. Though I myself was having a Generation Kill flashback with him in that riot gear there. Because if you've ever seen his performance in Generation Kill, it's excellent. And I think Nora's going to go to Goose. I don't think she's going to make it. And he's going to probably go on some kind of killing spree. And it'll probably be really awesome. Okay. Until next time, Shalita. And I hope this isn't too long a voicemail for you.
Oh, thank you, Shalita, for that long-ass voicemail, girl.
Thank you, Shalita.
That thing was long-ass, girl.
Audio file.
Okay, but anyway, okay. I agree with your assessment of James and Jessica in the white room. Sarah Newland is crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, but she is psychopathic with it. And when she kept saying, hit him with the light, again, 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 that was disturbing to me.
She's sadistic now.
She is so sadistic.
But she was even like that when they were, the part with Sam, excuse me, not Sam, Eric, Pam, and they were wanting them to kill each other and to fight each other.
Well, yeah, but During the season where they highlighted the Fellowship of the Sun, though, I don't remember her being like that.
She wasn't.
Yeah, so I guess that whole episode made her crazy. Anyway,
yeah.
But yeah, she's... Mm-mm. And I agree with you about Tara, too. I really like Tara this episode, too, because they showed her being a lot more sensitive and helpful. And she hasn't been a vampire that long her own self.
True.
You know, but mentally, she was already mature mentally. And I think that's the difference. Because she's still new, too.
Well, you know, we didn't really get a lot of Tara.
No, but what we got,
I did like it. I did like that they're budding this friendship between her and Willa.
Yeah.
And
I like the actor playing Willa, though.
I do, too.
Yeah, see, I think that girl's doing an excellent job.
And then the friendship with Tara and Jessica.
I like that, too.
I really like.
Because mm-hmm. even though Jessica drained our little babies, I still like Jessica, though.
Well, yeah, I was pissed at her first.
I was just shocked, but,
like,
you know.
Damn it, Jessica.
I know.
But really, based on y'all two, it was Bill's fault for leaving her up there with him.
Yeah, yeah.
And or for even taking him in the first place.
Yeah.
You know?
That's true.
But anywho, but yeah, I agree. Sarah Nealon is crazy. I'm not scared of her, though, but the only thing that made me worry was when Jason was telling her, if you let them know about me, I'm going to tell them all about you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when you tell your person
when
what
you threaten them like that, yeah,
they're going to try to get your ass first.
And that's what she was doing.
And so,
mm-hmm.
I just hope that she doesn't go too far with it.
Well, you could tell. I mean, she still likes Jason, but she was taking it out on
Jessica. Yeah.
See, because she was, because that was his friend and he was there to get Jessica.
Right.
So that's why she did that shit.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, jealous, evil thing. Hateful.
Hateful.
As far as, Nora, I've always liked Nora ever since they introduced that character. I just like her. I like her interaction with Eric. I think Eric and Pam's interaction of the two people that he interacts with is the best. But I like the interaction with Eric and Nora, and I hope she don't die. I hope they don't kill her off.
I hope not. Well,
I like her.
I like her, but they haven't really had her do anything.
Well, but I mean, you know, she was trying to sniff out how to combat Billeth.
Yeah,
that's what she's been doing.
Yeah, and I think they're going to realize that Lilith, is really trying to help them and not hurt them.
Well, that remains
to
be seen.
They probably are thinking, well, shit, we don't need Nora anymore.
Well, that remains to be seen.
Yeah.
You know. But
okay, Shalita also had a couple of comments in her email.
Okay.
She says, a couple of things I forgot. Why didn't they think of glamoring Terry before? But whatever is in his safe deposit box will probably explain everything to Arlene.
Yep.
That's a good point.
Well,
I don't think they thought about it.
But we talked about that when we was going through the episode. And that is, when you're in the moment like that and stuff's happening, you don't think about that. And Arlene even said that, dang, why didn't I think of that before? You know, and that's a very human response because all the seasons we've watched it and stuff,
I didn't think of it. Yep.
Nobody ever mentioned it in their emails before either. So we just didn't think about that. But that would have been the solution.
That would have been good.
That would have been the solution.
Kind of like they did Hoyt.
Yeah.
Last time.
Yep.
Just wanted to forget.
They sure did do that to Hoyt.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
He just wanted to forget.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. She says, Andy finally named his daughter.
Yep.
I liked Adeline, but could do without the Charlene. Laugh out loud.
Well, you know.
Yes, that was a shout out to the author.
Of course, whatever. Of course.
She says, yeah, whatever. What was with the werewolf hooker and that bucket of chicken?
I know.
She says, because would not eat no chicken sitting next to her crotch like that.
I know. She had
it in
her lap.
Well, it was a bucket.
It's a bucket of chicken.
Unless you think the germs would come through the cardboard.
I doubt it. Well, he just finished screwing the woman, so of course, you know, it didn't bother him. It wasn't
more disturbing
him.
Was her sitting her naked butt on the bed.
On the bed.
And so y'all just let that sink in when you go to a hotel room.
Yeah, y'all. Mm-hmm.
She says, that's all I can think of. Sorry for the long-ass voicemail, email, whatever.
Shalita. You're not sorry, Shalita. Thank you, Shalita.
Thank you, Shalita.
We like the long stuff, though. I just kid y'all, but yeah, the longer the better. Y'all just like to hear me say long-ass email and long-ass
sometimes
voicemail.
It is a long-ass effing email.
Yeah, that's true.
Sometimes it is.
All right.
All right, our next piece of feedback is from Matt.
Hey, Matt.
Hey, sisters. I'm going to tell you now that this is going to be a long-ass email because it is like they put 3 episodes worth of material into this one episode. Number one, it's good to see Lafayette actually have some really good lines. Mm-hmm. I really liked his interaction with Terry, but now I want to know what's in that safe deposit box.
Well, yeah, everybody want to know. Everybody want to know because even though he told Arlene, he still got the key. He still got the key.
Oh, well, yeah. I'm sure he gave it to Arlene.
I don't think so.
I'm sure he did. Especially with her. Or he will now because he's gone.
But
that was a cute scene.
But then again, I mean, Terry wanted him to have it.
That's
so
true.
You know, I mean, Lafayette's kind of honorable that way. So, you know.
That was a really good scene.
Yeah.
I really like that. Number two, what were Holly and Arlene thinking? I could totally see them doing something like that, but haven't they met Holly? You can I think he means Ginger. You can only glamour people so much before they go crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Terry was already crazy anyway.
Yeah, but Terry, I don't think, has ever been glamoured. Has he?
Well,
you know what? Probably in season 2. I think they all got glamoured after the black eye thing.
Yeah, after the BEs.
Number 3. Okay, if you abduct a man to Fairyland, tie him to a pole, drug him on fairy blood, and then have sex with him, isn't that some kind of rape? And she bit that chunk out of his neck. Now, see, that was the part that got me.
Okay, but see, everybody's forgetting the fact that she did the same thing with Bill.
I don't remember.
Yes, she did.
But wait, listen. She was in a relationship with Bill where he fed off of her. And she needed sometimes, most of the time that first season, she needed some blood all
That's
the damn
true.
Time.
But she done
she
already,
was always getting hurt.
But she done already told y'all she a danger hoe.
First Bill, then Eric, now Borlo. She's as bad as her brother. The only people Sookie hasn't slept with is Lafayette and Sam.
Ain't that the truth?
Well, look, she's always, I mean, I don't... Well,
yeah, don't even say that because it ain't true.
I'm fine with her having sex with him. It's a little quick, but she said, I'm going to let my freak flag fry, and I'm going to go ahead and do it. I'm accepting my wholeness, like we said.
Yep.
And I'm
embracing the wholeness.
The part that got me was the blood drinking.
Well, that didn't bother me because I'd seen her do it to Bill, so it didn't bother me.
He says 4. Speaking of Sam, I think that Nicole is going to turn him into a werewolf because she was bitten and survived. See, that came up before.
No, but we already established.
Well, Sister Jay, we know you ain't always right.
But wait a minute. But all you got to do is think back to the last season.
That wasn't last season.
Well, whenever Alcide and Debbie Pelt was together. I mean, they stood right there and said no. Alcide said no, it don't work that way. One of your parents got to be aware, and unless Nicole got a werewolf daddy or something, and that's the whole reason why she's trying to chase them shifters.
I mean, they never explained that shit, which to me is stupid.
Well,
I mean, you're gonna have this whole storyline, and you don't explain the reason why.
Well, that's what was
these
said.
People are in this group,
and y'all just forgetting that whole conversation happened. But that's what was said, and so. I believe that's probably what it is. She's not going to be turning to no werewolf. She's not.
Anywho.
Go on.
Okay. And then he says, 5, Lafayette's car is a 1965-ish Volvo 122. Mm-hmm. By the way, I live on the 9th floor of the high rise on top of a hill, and I close my blinds at night. Because, you know, people have binoculars.
Damn, that's high up. 9
and then he
floors.
Says, signed, Matt. And then he says, P.S., check this out. I took a class on zombies a couple of years ago. And he sent a PDF with Oh, that is awesome. I guess a class on zombies and how to be a zombie and what it means. I guess zombieism. We'll have to look at that later, Matt. That's awesome. Thank you, Matt.
Thank you, Matt, for that email.
Thank you for that email. And, yeah, I'm just tired of the whole Nicole Sam shit. I'm hoping that she gets an infection and gets gangrene or something. And her leg, and she's got to go into hospice and then whatever. And get her off.
I doubt it. I think she's going to be there the whole season.
Ugh. That will truly be a scene I fast forward.
Now, the trick will be if she come back for the next season.
Oh, Lord, please.
Well, but hey. But, yeah, I bet she'll be there for the whole season.
Oh, please, no. Mm-mm.
Which, I mean, you know, I don't really care. They just need better dialogue and stuff for her. Ugh. Okay.
Okay, our next email is from Rainbow.
Hey, Rainbow.
How you doing, Rainbow? First of all, gulp. I just had my wee one and I'm breastfeeding, so have another swig in my honor, y'all.
Ooh, Lord.
First of all. Remember, she was...
I know. Close.
Okay, so I'm a couple of podcasts behind and listening to your Merkins education. And I just wanted to add, why do you think the slang term for the vajayjay is a beaver? What was Merkin hair made of back in the day?
A beaver, probably.
Probably.
Beaver fur. Ooh, yuck.
Rainbow, that was all she said. Well, thank you for that disturbing image, yeah. Rainbow. Well, they had to have used animal.
Oh, Lord.
Animal skins and stuff.
Okay. Thank you, Rainbow.
Congratulations on the baby.
Yeah, on your little baby.
We need to know is it a boy or a girl?
Yeah. Okay.
Rainbow baby. Okay, and our last email is from Paris.
Hey, Paris.
Hello. I absolutely love this episode as well. A couple plots irritated me, but I really enjoyed it for the most part. Oh, and wait, his subject line is, Molly, you a danger whore girl. He says, seeing Bill allow Warlow to save Sookie when he felt her fear was a great opener. Sookie banishing her father's spirit was a powerful scene, and I appreciate seeing her so strong again. I have a question, though. Where in the hell did she learn to teleport between dimensions on her own?
Mm-hmm. Boop. Well, that's what you mentioned, but, I mean, you know, she has been practicing with manifesting her light and stuff. I'm sure that there's some other skills that have come from that, because she didn't even know she could do that.
Well, until Niles told her. I'm with you, Paris. We'd only ever seen her on this semi-fairy plane while she was unconscious after being nearly drained by Bill and when Claudine and the other fairies took her to Fae. I know we are supposed to accept that her bloodline is royal and that's why she can perform these master fairy powers. However, don't tell me she is from this all-powerful family one minute and then have her powers not work the next. True Blood's greatest weakness is its inconsistency in the writing of the characters.
Well, yeah, we know that.
That's true.
That's because they have different writers every season.
But shit, don't they know how to read?
But hey, evidently not.
They can't read up. That aside, I did not expect to fall in love with Warlow as much as I did this episode. I mean, come on. Those puppy dog eyes were pitiful. Robert Kaczynski did a great job portraying fear of rejection and loneliness in that scene. Mm-hmm. I felt bad for Warlow, something I did not expect at the beginning of the season. When Sookie dropped her panties and proceeded to mount him, I thought, this has got to be a blood dream. There is no way they wrote this danger whore dialogue for her, then had her fuck this guy into the dirt. Pardon my French. Guess we'll see next episode. You know what I started thinking, though, when they had the light coming up with them? Mm-hmm. I'm thinking, I wonder if... Okay, so he's full fairy plus vampire, and she's half... or. A quarter fairy.
Or whatever.
I wonder if she would get pregnant and have a baby, you know, grow really quick like Morella.
Mm-hmm.
Since he's full fairy and she's like part fairy with a special
Lord,
fairy
line. Really went way off left.
It just went to my mind. Yeah. Mm.
Anyway.
Love seeing Bill finally take the fight to the governor. Absolutely loved Eric's scenes in the vamp camp and his discovery of the governor's intentions with poisoning the true blood supply.
Yep.
Looks like he turned Willow strategically after all. I foresee a relationship developing between Jessica and her fellow prison mate, James. I do too.
Yeah.
I hope all the vampires get their revenge in earnest. Finally, I got a touch on the mess that was Terry's death. This irritated the hell out of me. I did not appreciate the way they wrote him off at all. Knowing what was coming after his demons had been glamored away robbed me of the experience. Mm-hmm. It just felt cheap to get rid of a beloved character that way. Mm-hmm. Hopefully some good will come out of it and it will advance the plot along. Can't wait to hear the podcast, Paris.
Thank you, Paris, for that wonderful long email.
Thank you, Paris.
Yeah, I was shocked at the whole Terry scene, but as soon as Holly mentioned, I got a friend who can glamour him, and that way, you know, he won't be hurting. I said, oh, Lord, he won't even remember that he contacted this guy, so they're going to kill him off. I knew then.
Well, shit, we knew that when the dude was sitting there and he says, I want you to kill me.
He said, I'd do it for free.
And I don't want to see it coming. Mm-hmm. Okay, so how is he supposed to, even if he changed his mind the next day?
Yeah.
Really, I knew that at that scene.
Yeah.
That it was going to happen. True. Now, the bad part about it was that he was, you know, they found happy. A solution yeah. that could make him happy and her happy and they live okay. And then it went on ahead with his suicide pact yeah. or whatever he was. Yeah, that was a sad scene. But, well, thank you so much, Paris, for that email. And that was all the feedback we had today on this episode. If you'd like to send us some feedback on next week's episode, you can do so at sisterspeak@gmail.com, or you can go to our website and leave a comment at sisterspeakpodcast.com. We are also on Twitter at _SisterJ and _SisterK. Our Facebook page is facebook.com/sisterspeakpodcast. And we are also on Get Gluing the episode. And y'all know our voicemail number, but it's 972-755-1215, or you can actually just send us an audio file.
Okay.
All right, that's it for now. I'm Sister K.
And I'm Sister J.
See you next time.